So I started writing in college, mostly around the workers at the school. So people who worked at the stadium, janitors who worked in the dorms, and like maintenance staff and people who would trim the trees and mow the grass at the university. And so we were always really, a lot of students that I was involved with, we were always really interested in the stories of these workers and how to uplift their stories, because a lot of them didn't make good wages. And so that's when I really got involved in investigative writing. And so we would actually speak with workers and ask them about their experiences.
Who were they? Are they black, white, Hispanic, or Asian?
Yeah, I would say most of the workers at Ohio State University were black and white, most of them. And I was just able to learn from them. I was able to learn about, you know, what it was like to work on the campus and not make a lot of money, even though, you know, it's a very wealthy university. So that really got me interested in writing about social topics, because I was able to share these people's stories. And then, but after I graduated, I still wanted to connect more with Lao people who are interested in these same topics. And so I found an organization called the Lao American Writer Summit.
You mean the Little Lao on the Prairie?
Little House on the Prairie was part of the Lao American Writer Summit. And they were having a convention in San Diego in 2016, so a year after I graduated. And so I went out there and I flew out there and I went to the conference and I spoke with other Lao writers. And that's when they asked me to write for Little House on the Prairie and share my perspective.
This is very interesting, very interesting. Do you have a lot of Lao who live around you there in Ohio right now?
Not many. There's several families. I think it's a couple thousand in Columbus, Ohio, but yeah, but I don't live around very many Lao people.
Now, can you identify any good model of Lao people in that area or in Ohio? Professional educators?
I think a lot of the Lao people in Columbus, Ohio, I think a lot of the ones who have a stable job and a stable life, I think they kind of keep to themselves. So I think that they're a good role model for their family, but we don't have a very public place to learn about each other than the temples, but we don't have any type of program or radio program or, yeah, they're pretty private. They usually just stick to the temple, so I didn't really see a lot of it growing up. Yeah, I would say a lot of the kids and a lot of the people in their 20s, like my age, they don't really come together as much as the parents did for like Lao festivals or parties. A lot of them, you know, just focus on school and work, and there's not a lot of community events. And I've tried to host several like Lao community events in Columbus, and
Like what? Like
some
doing
people
what?
will stop by, like an art show. I hosted an art show in 2017, I believe. Yeah, November of 2017, I hosted an art show for Southeast Asian American artists. So that's Lao, Indonesian, Cambodian, Hmong, and it had a really good turnout. Very diverse turnout. We're talking Black, Latino, African, some East Asian, like Chinese, Korean, but not many Lao people showed up. So it's hard to get them to show up to new things. They don't always show up to Lao events. Sometimes they just want to go to, I guess you could say, like American events instead. So it's hard to get them interested. Yeah. But a lot of the younger people don't go to the temple very often.